How's it going?
Well, world's a bit shit at the moment.
Yeah, I left the house for the first time in like a month the other day.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, you know, it really wasn't because I went to the corner shop and like they've put a giant screen in front of the counter.
Yeah, that's everywhere,
I haven't been to
mate.
places.
Next time you go in a supermarket, there are giant screens in front of everyone.
Right. I just got really depressed. I was like, oh, the world has really gone to shit.
Yeah, it has completely. The thing is, I'm outside every day, so
Yeah.
I've watched it gradually descend into shit.
Because I literally, after lockdown, I think I've left the house twice. And the first time was like the day after lockdown or something. So I can at least vaguely pretend, you know, maybe the world's not completely a disaster, but.
This kind of explains why, because we had a conversation about how well you were coping, and it's like, well, I can now see why you're coping so well, because you're not seeing anything at all.
Yeah, I've just completely insulated myself.
Yeah, oh, that sounds lovely. I wish I could have done that.
I mean, I've gone completely stir crazy, but beyond that, I think I'm fine.
Yeah, well, I work. I am a key worker, so I have to go to work every day, and that's not fun.
I can
People are
imagine.
really not adhering to social distancing. I keep hearing that, the majority of people are, and I'm like, well, no, the majority of people aren't. And the second you say you're going to open up the country, they're just going to get worse because they're idiots.
Yeah, I think that's the big problem is just everyone, even because I live on a main road, so I can see the last week or two, loads of people have started going out, and it's just really, really concerning because otherwise it means we're just never going to be able to, out of lockdown.
Only we could possibly get away with it if they don't open like pubs and where you're constantly lingering around other people at close quarters, or and like big events, nothing is going to happen for a year, I don't think. I don't think we'll get any
No.
sport or maybe behind closed doors, but like there's.
Well, the Premier League are saying they're going to start matches behind closed doors, empty arena style,
They're
like
saying that,
earlier
but
in the
like I'm
year.
not seeing any movement on it. I think the players have possibly protested because there were so many like cases with Arteta getting it, and is it Hudson-Odoi? I can't remember who else. There were other cases that I'm sure there were, and I think they're frustrated that their safety is being put on the line for other people's entertainment. So I don't know
Yeah.
whether that's actually going to happen or not. If the league gets cancelled, that would be fantastic. I'm saying that because I really hate Liverpool, and it would just be hilarious if they didn't win a title.
Yeah, I don't really know football, so I can't say much more.
Okay.
You know what I do know though, Arne? I know how to do the hustle.
I'm so happy. We basically we're going to do a podcast about Hustle, the promotion that started in Japan in 2004, and we're doing this because neither of us care about the current state of wrestling because it's all behind closed doors, and I don't agree with it going ahead anyway, so we're just going to ignore it, and then if it stops.
I'm not going to pretend for me it's a moral argument. It's just very, very difficult to watch. It's just not very interesting.
Yeah,
So I'm.
I feel like it's a combination of the two factors that I don't agree with them putting those shows on because it's needless. I can understand some promotions where, like Big Japan, literally can't afford to stop, so they have tried to run as much as they possibly can. But WWE doesn't need to run. They don't. They're rich. They're rich as fuck. They don't need to run.
No, the only, literally the only promotion that's done well on this is New Japan. They were the first to cancel. They very clearly have no intentions of running until everything's cooled down. They're not doing empty arena shows.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with that. Plus, it gives the wrestlers that are there the chance to heal up a bit, like Will Ospreay, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Tomohiro Ishii. They've all been carrying these nagging injuries for years and years and years, and not taking any time off. So hopefully, it will give them a chance to rest and come back healthy.
Yeah, but the main point I think is Wigner. I mean, I know you're trying to review basically every hustle show.
Yeah.
I think in an ideal world, we'll do a podcast for those shows as well. Obviously, your reviews are probably going to go a lot quicker than the podcasts, just based on how often we record. But I think it's a nice little companion piece to just talk about these shows. And this is an era of Puro I've never watched, so it's just fun for me to see.
Yeah,
Oh, the
so
weirdness.
like 2004, I was watching, but I was mainly watching Noah. So I watched, I think it was Hustle 1, 3, and 4 when they first happened. And then I basically asked my tape trader at the time, I try to remember who it was. I think it was Cymania. I basically asked him, was it worth carrying on watching the Hustle shows? And he said no. So. When he's the guy selling the tapes, it's, yeah, I considered that a bit of a damning review, but I also think he probably wasn't that into the whole thing, so maybe I should have just ignored him and carried on.
Yeah, I looked at I so I'm trying to not look at the cards too much, just so that they're a bit of a surprise to me when I watch them.
Yeah.
But I looked at a couple towards the end of Hustle's run, and it gets really, really weird. I'm
Yeah,
just
I've
hoping.
seen nothing and I know very little about the cards past the first year, so hopefully it's a nice surprise.
Yeah, I'm just hoping the because like. If you know me, you know I enjoy weirdness in wrestling, but it feels like it's gone even too far for me. So I just hope as it runs, it's a bit more of a progression than just one day everything's completely nuts. Because this show, it was weird, but it wasn't
The
like
first
it.
show, I don't think they quite knew what they wanted to do. So they were aiming to mock sports entertainment, but do it in a way that it wasn't like a complete joke, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because you had all those skits with, was it Nobuhiko Takada and Goldberg?
It Takada, yeah, he was the backstage guy. So he is basically Vince McMahon.
Yep.
That's his position. He's the guy in power. And when it started, like the first show, they wanted it to be like he'd just do a Vince McMahon thing where he was a little bit over the top, but he was wearing suits and stuff. And they completely abandoned that by the time show two rolled round and went like in a completely different direction. Have you watched the second one yet?
I haven't. I know eventually he becomes General Takada, so I'm assuming
Generalissimo Takada.
Generalissimo even.
Yeah,
So,
that's the second show.
oh wow, okay. Maybe it doesn't ramp up like I thought. Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Because the sort of impression I haven't, like, obviously I don't speak Japanese. There's a lot of promos on this,
Yeah.
and I haven't really delved into what the storyline's supposed to be. But the impression I get is Takada is your sort of Vince McMahon type, and Hashimoto has a load of guys that are almost like invaders.
Yeah, so they're like the baby face side of things is like Hashimoto and Ogawa, who main evented this show. They kind of book around Ogawa, but like I think he and Hashimoto are supposed to be like the main guys in terms of like the defenders of all things that are right in wrestling. And then you've got the evils of sports entertainment, with Takeda and his group, which is weird because like as a wrestler he was like a shoot style guy. He didn't do anything wacky at all. He was behind UWFI, and I don't know if you've ever watched that promotion, but it's like one of the most shooty promotions of all time.
Yeah, all I've seen of UWFI was the New Japan feud, really. But I know the sort of general idea. it was sort of the beginnings of shoot style.
Yeah, it was very sports driven,
Yeah.
very sports style. And he obviously, because everyone in this is an MMA guy, he fought for Pride and was very good. So he was good from a shoot point of view, but also from a shoot style point of view. He felt like wrestling wasn't realistic enough, and that's part of why you had UWFI. So it's kind of weird that he is the sports entertainment guy.
Yeah, I think it works though because he's a guy. Obviously, I'm not coming into this with all of that history, but I understand having a guy that's known to be sort of serious doing the more wacky character, like with when Minoru Suzuki does the more comedy stuff, it really works because there's that juxtaposition because you think of him as the more serious guy. And I know Kawada's on this show, and I know he gets really silly as well, and he's another guy who you traditionally think is more serious.
Yeah, look, his whole career was really serious until I think he left All Japan in 2005, and Hustle became like his main promotion then, which
Right.
is weird because he was like the All Japan guy, because he's the one All Japan superstar that didn't leave when Misawa left in 2000. So he was like the focal point for All Japan towards the end of like Misawa being there, but also afterwards for like 4 years he was the one guy that stayed, and his contract expired and he just left.
Why? This is a weird, complete different tangent, but why did he end up leaving in the end? Was it just all Japan was on a bit of a decline?
I'm trying to remember who owned it at the time, because it was
Was it not Baba's wife still?
I'm trying to remember when she. You're asking me questions here. I'm gonna have to look up stuff. But yeah,
Because I
she.
know Muta ends up buying it, but wasn't it quite a bit later?
No.
Okay.
So Muto bought it in 2002.
Right, okay.
And his style of wrestling was very different to what Kawada liked. So I kind of get the feeling that it kind of drove him away. But I'm
Yeah,
not sure
that's.
about the politics behind that. But like, I can't see him leaving that promotion when he stayed when Misawa left.
Yeah, but. And again, this is something you'll know more than I will. But my understanding was he and Misawa had a bit of a contentious
Yeah, a
relationship
bit of a
anyway.
rivalry. You would
Yeah.
say so.
Or no, not just as wrestlers, but they just legitimately didn't really like each other very much. So when Misawa left, it gave him the ability to really be the top star. And
Yeah,
because he
there's no
didn't
one
feel
there.
that. Because he didn't feel that same sense of loyalty to Misawa than he did to Baba and Baba's wife. It when Misawa left, it wasn't.
I remember him being very heavily mocked for staying with All Japan when it was pretty clear that Noah was going to be the good promotion from that point.
Right.
I can't remember who it was, but somebody kept referring to him as Mrs. Baba's boy. And, but yeah, he. It's really weird because he was. As we're starting this for Hustle in 2004, he's still in All Japan and he's still basically their top guy. So he was the Triple Crown champion and he defends the Triple Crown on a Hustle show, which is. I think
Weird.
it's Hustle 3.
Yes, against Mick Foley, I think,
Yes. I didn't want to
which
say that
sounds
in case you
exciting.
weren't familiar with what was happening, and it would be a big surprise. But yeah. So that's
That.
surreal. I remember buying the tape specifically because that was happening, because it's like what? That is the Hustle way of things.
Right, do you want to. I think we should get into the show a bit in a bit
Okay,
more
so
detail
you've watched the
then.
first show. Have you watched the second show, or just the first?
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay. So the first show, was a relative success because they booked it for Saitama Super Arena, which New Japan run quite often, and they had 12,000 fans, which that's a pretty good crowd for a startup promotion. They had some decent names on there. You're looking at like Kawada, Hashimoto on there for the Japanese side. You've got Goldberg on this show, Vader, Dusty Rhodes, Mil Máscaras is on this show, Dos Caras. So there's plenty of big names. So you can see why they did well on that initial draw. Was there anyone you were surprised to see on the lineup?
Dusty Rhodes was weird to me because he's not a guy I think of as having worked a lot of Japan.
Yeah, he was pretty popular. I'm gonna look up his record here while we're talking. But there was a spell sort of between him because he was in WCW, but he basically retired in the early 90s and was mainly a commentator and at one point a manager for the NWO. So he wasn't really wrestling, and then he left and was in ECW for a bit, and then after that he was just around on the indies, and it was very weird. So he would just turn up in these little promotions in the US.
Yeah, because around this time he's probably doing MLW with the Steve Corino feud, which sort of plays into. I know that feud was in ECW as well, where they had the big bull rope match,
Yeah, I think
but.
they did more in ECW than they MLW. I don't think he wrestled in very much, but he just kept appearing in these like random little one-offs, like Meanie's promotion. He was in there.
3PW,
Yeah,
3PW,
he
one
was
of
on one
those
of their
two.
shows, and it was him and Terry Funk and Abby in like a three-way. Because yeah, that was what the indies were like. They're like nobody quite knew what they were doing, and there was a lot of ECW guys knocking around, so they just had these weird matches.
Yeah, that's a very weird period in wrestling in general, just after ECW and WCW die, where you've just got loads of people
Yeah.
floating around,
So
loads
that's
of
where Hustle
random
drops into,
companies.
so there were people available. Dusty in Japan did tours of New Japan when there was a like a link with
With WCW, that makes sense.
WWF had a the same link as well with New Japan at one point.
Yes, they did. You're right.
So yeah, he was there for various reasons. I'm trying to pin down what who he was actually associated with at the time, because he wrestled like it's like we're going back to territory days with like late 70s, early 80s when this was happening. So like he was wrestling for the WWF, but he was also wrestling for like the NWA, because it hadn't really become what we now know as like the like Vince versus everyone else system. So he was wrestling for both and New Japan. So that's around when he was wrestling for New Japan.
I see. Okay, that's quite interesting. There was another one. I'm just looking at the card now. There was someone that really jumped out at me. The Predator. The Predator. Again,
Sylvester
because
Turkey.
because I don't know this era at all. It was so weird to me that he's doing a complete blatant Bruiser Brody ripoff. Like, he's not even trying to be anything else, and he's really, really bad at it.
He's terrible.
Like, why did. What was the deal there? How did. Who? What? I just don't understand.
Should we go through the card? Like,
Yeah, let's do that.
okay. So the opener for this is Loki versus Junkai versus King Adamo versus Mikami.
Before that, you're missing the most important part, which was the most 2004 thing I've ever seen, because the show actually opens with like a music video set to generic rock music. It was so good. That was the moment where I realized I'm going to enjoy this show.
I'm pretty sure they do the somebody does the hustle on the stage as well
Most likely. There's a lot of
before the
people.
show started. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of
Yeah.
hustling.
But the first match was, yeah, this really weird, because you've got Loki sort of at his peak in 2004. You've got Jun Kasai, I guess, at his peak. I don't know.
He was certainly more mobile then than he is now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's aged very well for a guy that's done so many death matches.
Yeah, King Adamo, I absolutely adore. Like, not even in a sort of ironic way of he's a big fat Samoan dude, of course I'm gonna love that. But he could sort of go, like, more than you'd expect from a guy who looks like that.
Yeah, I know WWF were kind of interested in him around this time, but it didn't really amount to anything. And if Hustle don't really use him very much, so he's on a couple of shows and that's it.
It's
Which is
a
weird because like
shame.
he was being booked by like 01 were booking him, so I'm not sure why that ended. But he carried on working for them, but not for Hustle. So somebody didn't like him.
Yeah. But the match itself was, I mean, it was a nice little opener. Mikami took some really nutty bumps in the finish.
Yeah, I
There's
like Mikami. He has like an obsession with ladders that borders on Jeff Hardyism. It's, he really enjoys a ladder spot, and he's
Yeah.
pretty creative with it as well. So there's they do some ladder stuff in this that's cool.
Yeah, because he comes out with a ladder, which I
Yeah,
was really
that's his
confused.
shtick.
Yeah. So I asked you this yesterday.
Yeah.
He's a name that I recognize, but I don't think I've ever seen him.
I assume DDT because like he wrestled a lot in DDT.
Yeah, so I must have, because that era of DDT, I haven't watched, but I've spend a lot of time just looking at cards, and because it's a really interesting era of DDT,
Well,
and so I
he was
must.
there until a couple of years ago.
Right.
So it's not that historical. It's not like we're talking about, oh, in back in the day he was there. He carried on wrestling regularly there until, I'm just looking it up, until like 2015.
Right, okay.
And he's kind of drifted around a bit since then, but
Yeah. I loved Loki in this match. He, again, like we said, this is, or I said even, this is sort of 2004 is real peak Loki, where he's just doing,
I really miss
he's,
the Crush Rush.
yeah, it's so cool.
Just seeing him do that in this match, I was like, oh man, I really miss that. And he kind of, I think he stopped doing it completely, but it's such an interesting move. It's just something, it's not even designed as a near fall move. It's something that you just do it for a laugh to inflict a bit of damage.
This is the sort of era where he was basically holding up the US Indies. Loki, Danielson, Spanky, I guess, Paul London,
Chris Daniels
those
was
sort of,
one of the main guys as well.
yeah, Chris Daniels.
And kind of Joe was just starting to become a big thing.
Yeah, I think it's a bit early for Homicide, but that's the sort of era we're talking.
Yeah, Homicide is on Hustle 2, but it's the only time he ever worked for Hustle.
It's a shame. But yeah, I mean, we've spent a lot of time on this match, but it's just a cool opener with a bunch of guys you never thought you'd see interact. I liked seeing Loki and Jun Kasai go at it just because earlier this year we had a Loki Masashi Takeda match, and
Yes.
obviously Takeda is sort of Kasai's protege, so it's quite a fun little link there.
Yeah, there's a lot of 01 influence here. As you'll see, throughout Hustle, because it started off as the money was coming from Dream Stage, who were promoters of MMA, and the talent was basically coming from Zero One. So anyone that was in Zero One in 2004 appears in Hustle. So Loki was on the books at Zero One. I know I keep saying it's great and I love it and everything, but in 2004 they genuinely had big crowds, stacked rosters, so that they had a lot of talent there. So it kind of makes
Yeah.
sense to base it off that.
Yeah, I think was this not this was there. 01 at this time were using a lot of Americans as well, weren't they?
Yeah,
Because
it
I
was
know
like
Carino
Carino
was
and that,
there.
and yeah, everyone else.
Yeah,
Like King Ghadamo, for example, that's a guy who's on this show because he wrestled for Zero One.
Right. Okay. Should we? I want to talk about Zebra Man more than anything
Yeah,
I want to talk about in my life.
yeah.
So before the match, they air again. There's a weird music video of.
They basically showed the trailer for the movie, didn't they?
I guess.
From what I remember, I didn't make any notes about the video that took place beforehand, but I'm pretty sure it's just the trailer for the film.
Right, yeah, because it seemed like a sort of origin of Zebra Man. Oh, and what is a Zebra Man? What is happening?
Well, he's a superhero.
Right. Did he get bitten by a radioactive zebra?
I hope so. I haven't actually seen the film. So the film was one of the many, many movies that Takeshi Miike has made. Are you familiar with the?
No.
Okay, so he's a Japanese filmmaker. He's made a lot of films. Most of them are exceptionally violent, but like he churns out so many films that it's kind of hard to say, oh, this is a Takeshi Miike film, but most of them are really violent. Ichi
Right.
the Killer,
That sounds familiar.
that's probably the one. Like, if you've seen one of his films, it's probably that one. I'm particularly partial to a film that was released in 1999 called Dead or Alive. If you haven't seen that, and you're listening to this, and you like wacky shit, you need to see Dead or Alive. It's kind of like a gravely serious Yakuza film that just goes completely insane in the last act.
Right.
And I highly recommend it. That's a Miike film. So Zebra Man,
With his attempt at superhero movies.
Basically, he basically just churned out so many films that it just happens to be one of the films that's in his catalog. I haven't seen it. I kind of want to see it now, but this is like Zebra Man, the movie was about somebody who discovers they have superpowers, and this is the get-up that they wear as a superhero. So they kind of based this wrestler on the character from the film. It was like a tie-in.
Right, was it? It was like a cross promotional thing.
I'm guessing so, or they just kind of went like, we're just gonna steal this. I assume there was some kind of cross promotion with the production company.
Yeah, I mean, Puro obviously has a bit of a history of
They do
like
this quite a
lying in a
lot,
tiger
yeah.
mask, these kind of things happen. So I don't question it as much as maybe I want to, just because it's a thing that happens in Puro, I just have to accept. But I was so confused.
Yeah, that's where the character comes from. I'm a bit disappointed they didn't use the actor for the character and actually just got a wrestler and put a mask on him.
Was it? Do we know who that was? Is it anyone noteworthy?
It's Kazuhiko Ogasawara.
I have no idea who that is.
Ogasawara. He was just a Zero One wrestler, so they put the mask on him.
Right, okay. So it was Zebra Man against Hidaka.
Yes. Ikuto Hidaka, who still wrestles now,
And
only.
it's still good.
Yeah, but back in the day, he was really good. He's kind of lost it, that yard of pace that made him so explosive kind of around this time. I mean, he's in his 30s here, like in 2004, give you an idea of how old he is now.
Wow.
But yeah, he's still very competent even today.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of his stuff, but I was really, really blown away at what he did in this match.
Yeah,
The match wasn't
he was
good.
exceptional. Hidaka was. I honestly, I haven't looked him up to see if he's on more Hustle shows, but basically, he was just a jobber here, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, but he really, like, he caught your attention more than Zebra Man did, even though this was basically just a squash match.
Yeah, it's the whole point of this is to try and get the Zebra Man gimmick over, which is weird because they really don't use him that much.
Yeah, really? Sorry, I was just going to accept that. Really? Because, like, they do the whole trailer bit, they give him a squash match. After the match, there's a weird, like, video package where he takes off his mask, but you don't see his face.
There's a
Like,
great
they.
bit right after the match where like he disappears in a cloud of smoke and you can see him drop through a like a trap door in the ramp.
Yeah.
But yeah, they put an awful lot of effort into that.
And he just sort of disappears.
I don't know, they just seem to lose interest in it, which I don't know if that's going to be a trend for this promotion. But yeah, he didn't really he didn't do a lot else for them.
That's a shame. I'll always remember this match, though. Or at least I'll always remember Zebra Man.
Yeah, he is on. So he's on the second Hustle show
Right.
because he's in a tag, and he takes the pin because of course he does.
I assume, because he was really, really bad in this match. Like, I think the match itself is like 5 or 6 minutes. And he blows up in like the first two or three.
Yeah.
So I imagine they just gave up because he sucked.
I don't remember seeing him on Hustle 4, so
Right.
that's basically the time span of the Zebra Man. He's on like the first three shows.
That's a real shame.
And this is the only real like push is like he got to win on the first show. He basically got squashed on the first show and then got squashed twice. And that was the end of him.
Well, again, it must have, sorry, it must just be that in this match he was so bad that they decided it's not worth investing too much more time in him.
Yeah, possibly. But the thing is, he did wrestle for 0-1, so they should know. I don't know. Yeah, it's a
I mean,
trip
I
into the
don't.
unknown here. Like there's a lot of X factors.
Yeah. And there's also a lot of guys on this show that you would imagine people would know these guys aren't very good, but seem to keep getting pushed. So it's very clear Dream Stage just sort of had some money they had to get rid of and decided to run a show. That's the impression I get.
It feels like the whole thing is just a tie-in for MMA shows that they're trying to sell.
Yeah, because this was still. Pride was Pride at its peak around now?
I'm not really a big MMA guy, so I
Okay.
couldn't really tell you.
Well, there's definitely Pride guys on this show, so and
Yes.
I would be shocked if these hustle shows are making more money than Pride is. So
Yeah, I don't really know where the peak of Pride was. I'm gonna look up Pride and see what. Oh, they
while
actually
you
went
do
out of
that,
business in 2007.
right, so this
Shit.
is the end of Pride.
I did not know that. So I assume Dream Stage had some issues then. extreme stage. So when you go on to, I basically just Googled them and it's come up with the Wikipedia page for Dream Stage. And the first thing in there is allegations of links to organized crime. That's the first thing in there.
I love it.
So
I love it.
the speculation in the Japanese press that Dream Stage was a front for Yamaguchi Gumi, a notorious Yakuza organization. And then
I mean,
it skips ahead to 2006 and everything else is a car crash. So,
yeah, I wanted to say Hustle feels like a way to launder money, but I didn't want to say it out loud, but
well,
maybe it was.
Wikipedia has flat out said it out loud, so I think we're kind of okay to make that connection.
Fair. Okay, match three was
Before match
legit.
three, though, there was some backstage stuff.
Oh
And
yeah.
yeah, so they had Goldberg walks in on Takada and like he's eating chicken. And they have a conversation about where Takada's like, don't eat this chicken, it's bad chicken. And Goldberg's like, where's the good chicken? And Takada just kind of stops and goes, and translates it, and then says, in the ring, Okada chicken. Sorry,
Ogawa.
Ogawa chicken. And Goldberg's like, oh, then I guess I'm just going to have to eat a Gower chicken. What? What?
And then they do the hustle.
Yeah, then they do the hustle, because of course they do.
The funniest part of the chicken bit is really, really weird. But the funniest part to me is they're sort of acting like, you know how in WWE they do the whole invisible camera thing
Yeah, they're acting like
where
he's not
you're
there.
having a
And
conversation?
then pose to the camera.
Yeah. It's so weird. I don't understand.
You can see that they're trying to kind of parody the WWF, but it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of all over the place. And then you've
Yeah.
got so to contrast that, they have another interview bit where the interviewer tries to get Ogawa and Hashimoto to do the same like hustle thing, and Hashimoto just kind of slaps him in the face and knocks him on the ground.
I hated that. See, after that happened, I realized I'm in for some trouble in the main event because Ogawa, it looked to me like he hit him, the interviewer, with an elbow, but it was honestly the weakest elbow I've ever seen in my life. And the interviewer goes flying. And that's when I realized this man is not, can't even hit a convincing looking elbow. How is he going to have a 10-minute long match with Goldberg or whatever?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we will.
So, as you say, match three.
Match three. I legitimately think this was the best match on the show.
If they had somebody good instead of Del Rio, then I think it might have been. So the match was Satoshi Kojima and Kaz Hayashi against Dos Caras Jr., who is Alberto Del Rio, and Solar.
Yeah.
I love
So
Solar.
Solar is an old school lucha dude. He's still working now. He's
Yeah.
one of these sort of
He's a
Negro
lifer.
Navarro types. He's a guy Daniel Macaway would really want to wrestle. Let's put it like that. But yeah, I really enjoyed the grappling between Kaz Hayashi and Solar.
Yeah.
I agree with you,
Kaz is
Kara.
great.
Oh, yeah, he's amazing.
Like, he's so good. I think people who only saw him in WCW, or have only seen him wrestle recently, where he's like a little bit older and he's carrying a lot of injuries. I don't think these people realize how good he was between leaving WCW and like the more modern stuff. He had this run of about 6 or 7 years where he was just phenomenally good in the ring. Just look at the way he moves around in this match. He's so good.
I was shocked because Solar's a kind of guy who's really, really famous for his grappling. And Hayashi's, like, I think of him more of as a high-flying guy. But he completely kept up with him. He was doing a lot of really, really cool transitions and things. Like, it was great. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, I was particularly into the bit where I think it's Salah that he's trying to put on the surfboard and like Kaz is just fighting it the whole, he's just fighting to try and stop it from being
Yeah.
put on instead of just throwing his arms back and taking the move. It kind of, it actually made sense because you never see that move make sense. It's like they try and do that with like people hitting the rib cage so that the arms naturally come back for it, but it just, it doesn't feel right. And yeah, they just nailed it in this.
Yeah, and that was the when Solar did the sort of rolling
Oh yeah.
surfboards as well, which was just beautiful, beautiful to see. Kojima looks like a completely different human being compared to now.
The more
He's really
slimline
lost a lot of
Kojima
weight in
was,
Transform.
yeah, he was quite mobile. Kojima's another one where if you saw him early in his career, he wasn't very good. And if you see him now sort of at the tail end of his career, he's got a lot of spots that are over and he's a solid hand, but he very rarely has like really like top tier matches. Whereas in between, if you fall into that middle spell where he was more mobile and more athletic, like he was a very, very good wrestler.
Yeah, because is this around the time of his All Japan run?
Is he in All Japan at this point? Let me just check.
But regardless, nowadays he's sort
So
of
yeah,
the
so
New Japan.
he was in New Japan to start with, and then he went to All Japan, and then he went back. So he's a couple of years into the All Japan.
Yeah, and my understanding is that All Japan run is really the sort of. That's the area you're talking about, that middle where he's still mobile and he.
Yeah. It kind of carried on a little bit into New Japan when he went back. So he was, I think he was still good for like a couple of years after he went back, and then you kind of could see the decline after that.
Yeah. I mean, he's still good now,
Oh
but
yeah,
he's
I'm
the
not saying
kind.
he isn't good now. I just want
Yeah.
to clear that up.
But right now, he's the kind of guy where you'll maybe get one really, really good match a year. Whereas around this point, would it be fair to say he's probably one of the best in the world? Or is that too
I think
much?
that's probably a stretch.
Okay.
I mean, I've always liked Kojima, apart from like really early on his career. But yeah, with this match, I was more blown away with how good Kasai Arashi was because I'd forgotten how good he got, like in his peak.
Yeah, this match was really the Hayashi and Solar show. Alberto was Del Rio Dos Casas Jr. He was not good,
No.
to
No, I
put
thought
it
he sucked
bluntly.
in this match.
It was lucky that he wasn't in it for very much, and clearly he just got booked because his dad was on the show, and. Yeah, I don't. I haven't seen any of this era of Del Rio, but I don't see what anyone will have seen in him. He's not good.
He comes back. He's in Hustle later, under a wacky gimmick. So I honestly can't remember what the gimmick was. I just know he's in it again.
Right.
So that's something to look forward to. He's about 5 years in at this point. So like he should be good, but he isn't.
Yeah, 5 years is enough time where you should be either starting to get good or already good.
Yeah, I feel like if you're not good after 5 years, then you're pretty much a write-off. But he got better, so I don't know. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, maybe he just didn't really care in this match or something. But because I went looking on his cage match, even during his sort of CMLL stuff, he's not really. All that great. So I don't know. Something just clicked when he got to WWE because he was pretty good there.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought he was good when he started with WWE. I thought he did really well for a couple of years, and then he seemed to lose interest again. So,
Yeah, but this was a really, really fun match.
yeah, I enjoyed this.
This is around the point where I stopped taking notes and just sort of. Let the show watch o wash over me even. I can't speak today. But yeah, this was a phenomenal match, I think.
Yeah, I felt that Dos Karras Jr. kind of dragged it down a bit for me, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this. I enjoyed the opener. I thought the Zebra Man match was fine. So they're kind of three for three at this point.
Yeah, and I think, not to spoil anything too much, but bar the main event, I think everything was at least fine. And like this show felt like a big deal.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So the next match was Masato Tanaka and Shinjiro Otani against Kevin Randleman and the Predator. The Predator, who you may know as Sylvester Turkay, who went to WWE like after this, and he sucks.
Yeah, he was in ECW with Elijah Burke for like a week or two, sort of. He was not
Yeah,
there very long.
they pretty much gave up on him after a year, I guess, and they didn't push him particularly. It was just that one run with Burke, and that was it.
Yeah, he sucked.
Yeah, he
I
does. He's
I
terrible.
really sorry, I really like the team of Otani and Tanaka.
Yeah. They are two of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Yeah, there's a good wrestlers to have. Yeah, it was really, really cool team. Predator sucked. Kevin Randleman, he has something. I enjoyed him.
Yeah. He's very athletic and he kind of knows when to show that off. You could kind of see that he got lost a bit. There was at least one spot, probably two, where Turkay is basically telling him where he's supposed to be because he's like, I don't know what I'm doing. He's just kind of lost.
Yeah, so Randleman's an MMA fighter, and this is the sort of weirdness of Hustle where they use a lot of MMA fighters in their matches, a lot of Pride guys.
Yeah, there was definitely that connection there.
But you're right, he seems very green, or needs a bit more experience at least. But I really enjoyed him. There
Well,
was one spot that really sticks out to me where I think Otani had him in a submission and he just starts biting Otani to get out of it. And Otani starts biting him back. It was just like it's a very little thing, but it's the kind of thing you don't see very often. And he's a guy I want to see more of.
like, based on this, are you surprised that he never went anywhere?
Yes. Yes.
Because I was as well. Because like I had seen him wrestle a couple of times, sort of in this era, but he really doesn't wrestle at all. So he had a handful of matches in 01, obviously. Before that, he had a couple of matches in All Japan. That was all he'd had prior to this. So you're looking at a guy who's had less than 10 matches. So when we're saying he's
Wow.
green, he is extremely green because he's had no matches at all, basically. And he wrestled for Hustle for a bit, and that was it.
The impression I get is that he and Predator were a sort of more regular team and were doing stuff in a lot of other promotions.
They
Obviously,
were
that's not the
so they were in
case.
a tag tournament in 01. Which was the previous year.
Right.
And that's it.
Okay. Yeah,
So that Kevin Randleman had like 20 matches in his entire
Wow.
career. And you would never know
Wow.
that from seeing him here, because he looks really genuinely good.
He looks like a sort of very athletic undercard guy who needs some more experience. And I guess because he's only had 20 matches, it was more just a case of he wanted to do MMA and this is a thing he had to do on the side.
I guess so. It's really weird to me that somebody is that good at it and just doesn't do anything with that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a real shame. It's a real shame. He really could have been something, I think. Is he on more hostel shows, or is this sort of the end?
Yeah, he's on a few. So he's on, I think he's on about four or five in the first couple of years, and then later he comes back.
Right, okay. Yeah, no, I'm excited to see more of them. It's a shame there's not very much.
There's very, very little Kevin Randleman, and he's sadly deceased as well. So
It's a shame.
yeah, he had some issues with he faked a urine sample and got suspended, I think,
Right.
from MMA. And then he had a problem with his kidneys, and then he had a heart attack. Oh, and he got done for drink driving as well.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where it's just, if you look at his life, he just went completely off the rails, and then he was dead at 44.
Real shame.
It is a real shame because like the potential that he had here was significant, I think.
This is sort of, I'm surprised because he seems like the kind of guy this era of New Japan would be really interested in with the sort of MMA background.
Yeah, I assume he must have been offered other jobs,
I assume just
surely.
with the Pride connection, it made more sense to do Hustle. And again, because you have a lot of MMA guys that dabble in wrestling a little bit. Some of them are really good. I think Bas Rutten, the little bit I've seen of him, really good.
Well, he is a sports entertainer.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. So I guess this is just a thing on a side, and because he's in Pride, it makes more sense to do a couple Hustle, a couple 01 shows than really try and get into a New Japan or a
Yeah.
whatever other shoot
We'll
style
see him
companies are
again,
around.
but not very much.
Yeah, guy with a lot of potential. This was a like the match itself was fine. Predator really, really brought it down.
Yeah.
But beyond that,
I don't know if he felt like he needed to be more of a leader in the match because of how inexperienced Randleman was, but he kept being overly ambitious, and he kept fucking things up, and it was frustrating.
yeah, very much so.
Shall we talk about Giant Silver? Are you a Giant Silver fan? Because I kind of, when I saw the card, I was like, I think he's going to like Giant Silver.
I don't know. I don't know. I was shocked he was in WWE for so little time.
Well, he was in the Oddities, but I think that was about it. I think they kind of cut him loose after
Yeah.
that.
He was just in the Odysseys, and that was only like a year, really, if that. And he just confused me because he's sort of in the Great Khali mold, which is the kind of wrestler I weirdly like, where he's just a big lug. But he's not, at this point, he seems really old and immobile.
Yeah, I think he looked really old and immobile when he started.
Right.
I always thought he was rotten. I think there seems to be like a ceiling on wrestler size where it's just you're not able to wrestle. You just have to be a sideshow, like a freak attraction. And he's over that size.
Yeah. He just, it was very uncomfortable. It was like a 2 minute handicap squash. Who are the two guys he was against?
Koei Sato, who
Yep.
is very, very good at professional wrestling, has gone on to a strong career. It took him a while, but like over the last 5 years, I'd say Sato has been up in the elite tier of Japanese professional wrestling. And the other guy is Katsuhisa Fuji, who was a judo guy who wrestle for like Hustle and the Inoki Genome Federation.
The Fuji, he was, I would like to see more of him. Sato obviously is great. He's still great. He's in the strong climb this year and
Yeah,
he's having.
honestly, early Sato, he doesn't look like he's going to amount to anything. It took him a while to kind of get the personality right and get the moves right. Some people it just doesn't click straight away, and it took time with Sato. So I can see why they just chucked him in here as in what is essentially a squash.
Yeah, I mean, he got there in the end, and I think the little bit they got to show, I quite enjoyed. And then there's a really weird spot where Silver basically goes for a double superplex, but the way they get there is these weird double chokehold things, which seems to last like 5 minutes.
It was a squash, so I didn't really pay that much attention to this.
I did just because I was fascinated by Giant Silver. Because you're right, as soon as I see him, I think this is a guy I might like. And I didn't. It was a shame.
It's really weird because like they set Silver up on this show, because he interferes in the main event, and it feels like, oh, they're getting ready to do a big Silver push. And I don't think it ever happens.
I'm guessing he's the kind of guy they just use because he looks so imposing as the sort of muscle for these.
I guess they know he's not good in the ring, and
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, by this point, he'd been working for like a decade. So if you don't know, he's not good.
I just took a look at his cage match rating. See if you can guess what his cage match rating is.
2.86.
Too high.
Oh, wow. What is it?
1.15.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's pretty low.
Yeah, that's not much.
One person has given him an 8,
Okay.
which
Okay.
The reviews on there as well. I don't know why the hate on him. He's not bad for his size, has good charisma.
No, he doesn't.
Judging his performance in Hustle, I will give him an 8. So it writes Max 555.
Delete your account, Max.
An 8,
Yeah,
that's
people are dumb.
yeah.
And the next match was a massive disappointment.
Oh yeah, it was fucking rotten. So the next match was Shinya Hashimoto and Vader. And Vader in 2004 is toast. He is absolutely done. He's got nothing left whatsoever.
No, he can barely move.
So yeah, I was kind of looking forward to this match because I love Hashimoto and I love Vader, but honestly, this is barely above a dud. And they don't even have a finish.
It was the I didn't even see because it was a count out, but I couldn't even tell what happened to make the count out. Was it like a chair shot? I want to
No,
say.
you DDT'd him on the floor.
Okay, it wasn't like I think at this point Vader can't do anything. Hashimoto is struggling, and but they can still come up with some interesting ideas.
Yeah,
There are a
Hashimoto
couple.
at this kind of stage of his career was far better when he was just kind of like doing stand up and like fighting and doing like kicks and stuff. And they did way too much stuff on the mat because Vader got gassed. And yeah, it was just bad.
Yeah, there
But Vader,
was.
this is only a couple of years after Vader stopped being useful as well, because like he had a run right at the start of Noah. Noah were using him as like a big monster, and he was quite good in that role. He wasn't like he was at his peak or anything, but like he was quite good. And then he just went right off a cliff in terms of ability. And this is the point where he's just completely useless.
I didn't know he did Noah. That's
Yeah, when Misawa left in 2000, some of the gaijin that were being used by All Japan just started being used by Noah, and he was one of them.
Right. On paper, this looks like a really exciting match, and I think they
It
did a couple
would have been
interesting.
in the 90s. Like
Yeah,
if that
that's the
match took
problem.
place in the 90s, it would have been an absolute banger. But no.
Was about 10 years too late, and there are a couple of Vader shots, punches, and things I liked. Like the stuff on the mat was pretty bad, but it was a vaguely interesting idea because Hashimoto went after Vader's knee, and there was something there, but it never really amounted to much. It just, real shame. If I was to, other than the main event, this is probably the worst match on the show.
Yeah, I think I had it as the worst match. I think I want a half a star on that.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's bad.
Yeah, shame. And then Mark Coleman. No, sorry.
You're skipping ahead there. We've got an intermission where they had the Hustle Divas.
Yeah, what was that? I was really uncomfortable because I was watching this show at like 1 in the morning last night. I was so uncomfortable.
Yeah, well,
What was going on?
it's basically just a mockery of what the WWF was doing around the same time, which was, Playboy centerfold shoots and evening gown matches and pillow fights and stuff. So it's just that they just straight up said, "Oh, well, there's women in this promotion, but they're just models."
Yeah, it was really sleazy and uncomfortable and
Yeah, they do that on. So that's on Hustle 2 as well. They did the same thing. I can't remember if they carried on doing it, but it's really weird that they play like Jerry Halliwell as the music, and then it's just models walking around. That's it.
And then this really weird Lucha Six Man with Dusty Rhodes and Steve Corino. And who's Tom Howard?
Tom Howard. So he worked in Mexico for, I guess, about 5 years. WWF signed him, but discovered that he just was intensely mediocre. And this is basically after his release, I think. Let me just check the timeline on that.
Yeah, it is because. And he was signed with WWF, but he only worked dark matches. He never got on TV.
He was there during the Attitude Era. I'm just looking up to see what the matches were. Yeah, he was wrestling dark matches on Jacked.
Yeah. That's as low as you can get.
That pretty much. So then he got released, and he started with 0-1. So that he was with 0-1 when Hustle started. So that's why they used him. Hustle used him once. This match, that's it.
Good, because he did suck. He was just, like you said, he was intensely mediocre. He was just
Yeah,
sort
very
of
much so.
there with his weird army man gimmick.
Yeah,
But
it's just a miss. Like in wrestling, sometimes you get guys who just don't really get it. And that Tom Howard just didn't really get wrestling.
So this was Dos Caras, I almost said Mil Muertes, Mil
Mil
Máscaras.
Máscaras and Psicodélico Junior.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Psicodélico Junior. He did a little bit of Chikara.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing him, to be honest. I don't remember seeing him
No.
anywhere.
No. Against Dusty Rhodes, Steve Corino, and Tom Howard. I liked. So this was a fine match. It's another sort of 2 and a bit star fine. But I really liked the angle at the end with, because like we said, Dusty and Carino have been feuding sort of in ECW and all over the place afterwards. So I liked that in the match there's a bit of contention between them because
Yeah,
they're
so
not pretending it.
Corino keeps tagging himself in and kind of doing it to protect Dusty, and Dusty's like, "What the fuck, man? You just tagged yourself in again." So Dusty spends most of the match on the apron, which is fine. And Corino takes like the bulk of the the wrestling section. But
Which
then
is
the
what you want in 2004.
oh yeah. I mean, Carino was a solid worker. He had a good look. I'm not convinced he was ever anything other than a kind of a mid-card guy.
I think in this sort of era where you don't have a lot of high-end, or the high-end US workers aren't really ready yet to be main eventing,
He was a
you
very good
needed.
talker, though.
Yeah,
So we, I think
that's true as well.
that's the basis of his push in ECW was he could talk extremely well, and when you can talk people into the enjoying the match, you probably don't need to do that much in the match. And he got kind of progressively better in the ring, so that helped.
Yeah, you say, I'm just thinking, you say he's, you don't really see him as much more than a mid-card guy, but have you seen the Homicide match from ROH? I want to say 2003, 2002, sort of around this time.
I definitely saw it because I watched that whole era of Ring of Honor. So, yeah, I get your point. There
He
were
could have the
times
main
where
event.
you could elevate him into the main event through the feud that he was having. But I didn't see him as a permanent fix. I didn't see him like so. ECW put the belt on him, presumably because they just didn't have anyone else. But I don't see him at that level. He was much better at just talking. But you're right, that Homicide feud was very strong, so
I
it's a good
think
shout.
with ECW, it was just a case of there's no one else really, because this was like 2000.
Yeah, well, they put the title on Jerry Lynn and then decided that was a bad idea because he couldn't talk.
Yeah. And then I think after ECW, he was a necessary sort of transition guy before your Danielsons, your McGuinness, your whatever were ready, your Jones. Was sort of ready to be main eventing these big time shows. You needed someone like him that could sort of carry the company, talk people into buildings, have a. Whether or not you think he's a great worker, he can have good matches at the very least.
I think he's very much like we talk about Cody Rhodes being like a storyline match guy. The
Yeah.
same is very much true of Carino. Like they would need to be a storyline. If you just put him in a cold match, you're not going to get a lot out of him.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect comparison. But yeah, this match was fine. No Mascara has sort of big-timed his way through it a bit, which is
Yeah.
to be expected.
He big-timed his way through a huge chunk of his career,
Yeah.
but he was over anyway because he like Mil Máscaras. We were talking earlier about Dusty Rhodes and his history in Japan, but like Mil Máscaras wrestled a lot in Japan. He was in All
Yeah.
Japan for years and years and years, so like people do know who he is and respect the history of what he did in the past. I'm not convinced he gave it an awful lot of effort in this one, but
I don't think he's ever given a huge amount of effort in any match, to
Yeah.
be honest. That's not really what he's known for.
Yeah. I think he was fine in this one. Like, he didn't stand
Yeah.
out as being lazy or anything. He just did bits. Left Psychedelico Jr. to take the bulk of the match.
Basically, the entire time. I don't remember anything that Dos Caras even did, to be honest with you. I remember Mil Máscaras big timing his way through a couple of
Oh, Mill
spots.
definitely took the pin. Like, he definitely got the pin in this.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, Psychedelic, I don't know, whatever, that
Psychedelico.
guy, Psychedelica, he took basically 90% of the match. And I have no memory of Dos Caras even tagging in, really.
I know they had a miscommunication spot right before the finish with where Dos Caras was involved in that. It was something with Dusty, and I just remember it being really rotten.
And then you get the really fun angle with Carino turning on Dusty, and they both blade and some pull apart brawl. I really, really loved that.
Yeah, that was good stuff. So I thought that would immediately lead to like a match on the next show, and it didn't. So the match is on like the third show, and it doesn't really make
I
sense to
was.
have like a show in between. Was weird.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I hope this is leading to a match between the two. I know Dusty's in on show two, tagging with Dustin. So I imagine, I'm hoping at least there's a little bit of something there. Obviously, you've seen the show.
I don't remember there being anything, to be honest.
Okay. Shame. Yeah, fine match, cool angle. Still not convinced I know who Tom Howard is.
Don't think you really need to.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't think he's ever going to come up again in polite conversation. You'd be like, it's a name you can drop in there when you go, yeah, I mean, he's bad, but he's no Tom Howard.
See.
And people nod approvingly at the depth of your knowledge.
Okay, I'll remember that.
You could probably drop that in a conversation with me, and I'd be like, "Who?" I mean,
I'm gonna try that. I saw too. I'm gonna remember to drop that in somewhere.
yeah, try it down the line, like a year from now. Just slip it into a podcast, and I'll be like, "I don't know who that is."
Was there another skit at this point?
If there was, I don't remember it.
Okay,
I didn't
because.
write about it, and I'm basically skimming through my review, and I didn't write about it, so there might have been, but it wasn't key to understanding the flow of the show.
Sure. Well, the next match was Kawada, Mark Coleman. What's the deal with Mark Coleman? Is he another sort of pride fighter?
Yeah, he was in. He basically had quite a good MMA record up to this point. And then the next
Right.
two fights he had after this were like make or break fights in terms of like his status. And he got beaten by Fedor, I can't pronounce his surname, Fedor, and Krokop. So I think he
Right.
submitted in round one, and then he got knocked out in round one in the next fight. And that was pretty much the end of him as a name.
So he didn't even lose. He got like properly destroyed in round one.
I'll look it up to make sure I'm not like lying or anything, but that's how I remember it.
Yeah, the match itself was like a 5 minute little match.
Yeah, it was
Basically,
it,
just
he got armbarred in round one against Fedor, and he got knocked out punches against Krokop, and the combined time of those two fights was 5 minutes.
right. Wow. Okay. Okay. So this match itself was like 5 or 6 minutes. Coleman got Kawada in a knee bar. Kawada reversed
Kawada
it.
historically has very bad knees. So if
Right.
you watch sort of any All Japan match in the 90s, somebody will go after his leg. So it's kind of a continuation of that theme. So Mark Coleman kind of knew what he was doing in there, unless Kawada said, "Work my leg." So I really enjoyed this because they had a lot of shoot style stuff where Coleman felt very comfortable, and then they did a little bit of stand up just before the end that was fantastic. And they kept it short and sweet and tidy, and I really enjoyed it, although the ref fucked the finish up.
Yeah, it was bizarre. I didn't like this match as much as you seem to. I'd like to rewatch it because it's only a couple of minutes. But I liked the shoot style stuff at the beginning. I liked the knee bar and the reversing of it and all of that. It just, I think there wasn't quite enough meat on the bone for me to really rave about it too much.
I think it's got to the point now where I just really enjoy short matches. I enjoy the fact that they get in there, they tell their story, and they get out before I get bored. And like a 6 minute match where they do all that, that's great for me. I love that.
Yeah, I'm generally the same, but something about this just didn't quite like. I think I have this at 2 and a bit stars or something. I thought it was good, but it sort of had a ceiling on it. I might rewatch it just to see if I again. I was watching this at like 2 in the morning or something, so it might just be a case that I was tired and didn't really get what it was all about. But it was a fine little match to me.
It didn't help that they fucked the finish up, which is not either of the wrestlers' fault, because I assume the heel hook that Coleman gets trapped in is the finish of the match, but he doesn't actually tap out. So the referee basically stops the match, and both the wrestlers look confused, and it's like, oh, yeah, that wasn't supposed to happen. So, yeah, I kind of blame the ref for that.
Fair, fair. Yeah, just, I think it's just the main event left.
So Naoya Ogawa and Bill Goldberg.
So I have a lot of questions, first of all.
Okay.
Before we even talk about the match, I have a lot of questions. What is it, Ogawa? What's the deal there?
What's the deal?
Why? Why?
So Ogawa was an Olympian in judo,
Right.
very successful. He had a silver medal at the Olympics. He won three judo world championships. So he kind of came through at a stage where they were looking for guys specifically like him who were big, legitimate, and already popular. And that's how he got like such a big push, like straight off the bat here.
Right, okay. My second
I mean,
question.
to be fair, he has already wrestled for quite a long time at this point, because he was in he started off in New Japan, then he was in 01. It's really this is a like a time in history where people were leaving New Japan to wrestle for 01 because it was a new promotion. But it just sounds weird to say that now. So he had like 4 years or so in New Japan, and then like 4 years, I guess. Well, however long 01's been running, like 3 years at this point, before starting in Hustle.
Oh, wow. Because the way he works, I thought he was like a, like a Randleman or a Coleman type, where he's an MMA guy that has maybe had like a dozen matches. Because like he's, everything he does, he's very timid about it. There's no effort behind anything.
I mean, I say he's been wrestling for however many years I just said, but he hadn't actually wrestled regularly until he went to 01. So like for New Japan, he was more of an attraction wrestler. So he wrestled very infrequently there, and only really wrestled a regular schedule when he went to into 01. So he's only been wrestling.
That's still about 3 years. If he starts at 0-1 around when
Yeah,
it
I think
starts.
he was doing the same in 01 until like the I'm just looking at I'd say middle of 2002. So that's when he started
Yes.
more regularly wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, that's again, that's like a year and a half. He's the sort of nothing he does has any weight behind it. He seems to. This is something that happens with a lot of guys with MMA histories. He seems to really be pulling his punches, and his all of his strikes just don't land in any sort of way. And this match was wrestled in completely the wrong way because Goldberg, especially in 2004, shouldn't be working 12, 13-minute matches.
No.
And it just sucked. My other question.
I kind of like the way they built the match. At least the first half of it was that Goldberg kind of goes for a load of power stuff, but then he kind of gets overwhelmed with Ogawa's judo background, and that kind of is how they tell that story. So the structure to begin with is fine, and then it just kind of goes completely off a cliff in the second half when there's booking and stuff.
Yeah, it's there's like three ref bumps. It
Oh,
just
God.
so overbooked. They clearly realized, look, Ogawa can't work. Goldberg shouldn't be working long matches. We have to stick in a load of smoke and mirrors. And I guess if they're going for the sort of parody of sports entertainment, then you need to have a lot of smoke and mirrors in your main event as well. But it's just stunk.
Yes. You realize, I'm wondering if you realize the timing of this. Like, do you know what Goldberg is in the middle of doing?
Yeah, so this is my other question. He was on WWF at this point. He
only dropped the title to Triple H the month before this, and he's still in the promotion until WrestleMania, where he was going to lose to Brock Lesnar and effectively wouldn't wrestle again for, what, a decade? No, longer than that.
Longer than that, like 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I know 2004 he would have still been in the WWE, but I didn't realise he was still basically the champion.
He just lost. So, like, this is the first week in the new year, and he lost it the week before Christmas. So it's, like, 2 weeks after he lost the title.
Wow. Because, no, but not only that, they did. So throughout the show, Goldberg showed up at a Pride show to go after Ogawa or whatever, and that was on New Year's Day, so that's even closer to when he just dropped the title.
Yeah, this is only a few days after that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's what? Weird, isn't it?
How did that happen?
I don't know. I don't know how they got away with that.
It must just be, again, Dream Slam have a lot of money. And
I mean, essentially, any WWE wrestler, they're independent contractors. So if you want to book any of them, you just ring them up and go, like, we want, you know, this guy on this date. And you can usually, I mean, technically, you could, if you're a promoter, you can book John Cena. Like, you can ring him up and go, is John Cena available on X date? How much is that going to cost? They're basically just a booking agent. And it does happen. Like, people do get booked in other promotions. It's very rare because most of the talent is extremely expensive and there's no point in doing it unless you have a lot of bankroll, or the guy that you want to borrow is very low down on the totem, like when PCW borrowed Apollo Crews. But yeah, it effectively, they just said, can we have him? And they came to an arrangement. And it must have been a good financial arrangement for WWF, because it happened.
Yeah. I mean, you say all of that, but that we know in reality, they don't really let you book. I agree with you. Technically, they're allowed to take outside bookings. But in reality, not many promotions
through the office. Obviously. So, like, if you wanted to book him, you could book him by contacting WWE and saying, we want this guy.
Yeah.
So that is what happened here. I am amazed that they let him do it, but essentially he was on his way out of the promotion in a couple of months, and I guess they just didn't care. Which is weird to me, because, like, you look at now, and that would never happen. Because, like, if you're TNA, for example, and you're just like, oh, can we just borrow Goldberg for a show? They'd be like, no. No, you can't.
But
it was a completely different landscape, because you're looking at 2004. There's no rival promotion. They're basically the only show in town. New Japan is struggling like crazy. Maybe they thought, Dreamscape, we could probably control them if we do them some favors. So they lent them Goldberg. So maybe with an eye towards cooperating with them in the future and kind of turning it into, WWF Japan.
I guess also this is January. Around this time, I assume Goldberg, they will have had the idea that Goldberg's not sticking around.
Yeah, well, his contract would have been due up in like 2 months, I guess.
2 or 3 months, yeah.
Because, like, and also WrestleMania is, hang on, when was WrestleMania that year? WrestleMania was on the 14th of March. It
Oh,
was
so it was early.
WrestleMania 20, so it was a very early WrestleMania.
So
So
like 2 months.
his contract was probably up either at the end of March or the end of April.
Yeah, so they almost definitely knew he was. There was a very good chance they knew he wasn't going to stick around. And also, just it was clear by this point he wasn't as big of a star as he maybe should have been. And because people forget that Goldberg run was really, really bad.
It was
He
really, really
was
bad.
losing
It
to.
was really badly booked.
Yeah. Oh no, it's nothing against Goldberg. He was put in really weird spots. He was losing to Triple H and Evolution. He had a weird, like, mini feud with Kane, of all people. It just didn't work. And I guess they must have realized this guy's not actually that big of a star. He's probably on his way out. We can happily let him go do the show. We'll keep him happy. And like you said, maybe this promotion won't try and feud and go against us.
Yeah, I mean, WWE do have a history of getting involved in Japan but not having much success, so maybe they thought this was a potential in for them. Because the first show drew 12,000 fans, it's there was potential there.
Yeah, it's a big show and it clearly had a lot of big stars on it, so it makes sense to get in there quick and keep them on your good side.
I'm making a
But the
lot of
match
assumptions
stunk.
in there, but
Yeah, I'm sure someone's listening to this and screaming at us that we're completely wrong and actually, Goldberg's cousin owns Dream Slam and this was a favor to him or whatever. Yeah, bad match, good show though. I think I'm very excited for this little mini project.
you say it's a mini project. Yeah, how many shows Hustle ran?
Oh, loads, loads.
They were running for 6 years and they got quite regular at one point, and they had well over 100 shows.
Oh shit, well, I mean, you're gonna watch as many shows as you can. We're gonna review as many shows as we can. At some point, wrestling is coming back, and at that point, maybe we'll continue this, maybe
It
we won't. Who knows?
depends how well
I'm down
wrestling.
to, yeah. I know Akebono comes on in at one point. There's a weird bit where he's hatched from an egg and he's Great Muta's son or something.
There's
Like he gets
wackiness
wacky
ahead.
and I'm excited. Is Lingerie Muto in this?
I don't know, because I like I say, I watched at the time, Hustle 1, Hustle 3, and Hustle 4, I think. I'm just looking at Hustle 4 to see what was on it. Maybe. I maybe watched Hustle 4. It might have been 5. But I've actually watched like 3 shows and then stopped.
Right.
And the promotion carried on for 6 years. So there's a lot to cover.
I'm excited.
I personally don't think Hustle 2 is particularly worth talking about. So we might like skip ahead and do 3.
Yeah, I'm still going to watch Hustle 2, but you're right, maybe it's worth just skipping it. We'll figure that out. We don't need to have an on-air production meeting on.
With that, but
Come
that's how
on.
we do it.
Be more professional, Arnold.
Nah, I don't want to.
Yeah, nah. I've had a random WWF video in the background, and they're now showing the Rockers against Haku and Andre. And Haku's a lot bigger than I realized, because he's like not that much smaller than Andre.
He's quite a big guy. I know Andre was kind of more hunched over at that stage in his career, wasn't really standing tall, as it were.
Yeah.
I think he might have lost some height.
He must have, because I'm Haku and Shawn Michaels just knocked up and they're not that dissimilar in height. But anyway, hustle. Sorry. I'll watch Hustle 2 if there's anything I really want to talk about. Well, the bigger point is Are we going to be recording this weekly, or are we going to keep to our sort of bi-weekly schedule?
But it's better. Like if I'm just churning through these hustle shows, then yeah, we'll up the frequency.
In that case, I think I'll watch Hustle 2 today. Hustle 3, I'll watch later this week, and we'll just do 2.
That sounds
Because I
good.
think, yeah.
This is riveting
Because,
audio for anyone that's listening.
yeah.
Everyone's given up by this point. We're like 90 minutes in. There's nobody here talking
We
to
don't have
ourselves.
listeners on. This is just me and you talking.
Yeah. Well, it's good fun.
Yeah. Right. I think we should wrap up.